里的 game more on my 咖里的 game more on my 咖里的 game more on my 咖里的 game more on my。
Hi Daria.
Hi Miriam.
Hi Teva. What is the occasion for today?
For me it's a wake up call. It's part of a global happening today. It happens to be Peace Day, International Peace Day, and it's a global call to bring awareness that global warming is happening and that we need to do something, individual and as the world, as the earth. So this is all leading towards the Copenhagen Environmental Conference in December, which will end at on 18th on December. So this is like the first major step. In the next few days, also the events that have happened today in the world, which is around 2,100 by now, will be like ours, will be photographed, video taken, and all these pictures are sent to Avas, who is organizing that, and will be sent tomorrow to the UN meeting and 2 days later to the Pittsburgh G20 meetings, which talks about economic reality of implementing this anti-global warming decisions.
Yeah, I think Daria got it all. I think maybe just to say today is because tomorrow, the 22nd of September, is this big UN summit and it's the start of a series of these meetings, then the intention was to get the people of the world really to stand up and have a voice today and to show the world leaders that the people feel really strongly and we want a future for our children and we want the well-being of the planet and all species on the planet. And so today was an opportunity to say that loud and clear.
That movement is not from today, when it all started.
There is, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of movements which started in the last decades as humanity realized that the world is going unhealthy way. And what I also find very special about it, it's not anymore separating this just the global warming reality or the environmental reality, that it's so interlinked to the social justice, it's so interlinked to the spiritual growth, that there's no way to separate these issues anymore. So it's when it all started, I can't say a date, when that all started in the last, since the 80s, or, you know, when we were aware how quickly environment is getting polluted, how quickly animals are disappearing, the species are disappearing from the planet, and so on, and how the poorer countries suffer more than richer due to all this, and how it's all interlinked. So we're just calling towards that.
What kind of organization is Avas?
To my knowing, Avas is an organization that is organizing events, petitions, actions. They have a network all over the world via internet, and then they have action groups. And they are organizing from small actions like today, like we have a small action, but we are part of many actions which cover, like we said earlier, from environmental to social justice to spiritual growth, all whatever is connected and linked to growth on planet and all where there is injustice in some or another way, to my understanding. Avas actually means voice in many different languages somehow. To be voice of small people, of all of us that have sometimes the feeling, what can I do? If we connect together, we have a big voice. So they kind of link that.
You got the feeling that today's action will contribute somehow in this part of the world?
Yes, definitely. I don't know, this part of the world, I think world as totality, because this part of the world is connected to the rest of the world. I don't know how we will see it like in our immediate environment, if you look our pondy garbage problem and things like that. But I have strong belief that it's going to contribute, because I've been in between the other event and right now on the internet, and just seeing all the response and all the calls that people have done to so many governments, to so many places, and what is happening, I'm sure that this is not coming unnoticed. And like Avas organizers say, it's now. There is no way back. If this wouldn't happen in Copenhagen, they're not going to stop. Or the public, we are not going to stop. Something is going to change very, very soon. So I believe that, yes, that it's a little drop in the big ocean that is happening right now.
How about our villains? How do they respond to that actions today? Or in general?
I know that there is a lot of groups involved in Oroville in environmental work. Teva, who is missing right now, she is just starting with another person, with Isabel, data bank, that we are all more aware what all is already happening and what is already all been done in this respect. However, for this event, we were a bit disappointed on one side because, or maybe I was thinking more people will come to organize. At the same time, I was really positively surprised today seeing at Solar Kitchen how many people did join the group, because at first we were just three adults or four adults and children, and today much more children were there and adults. So there is interconnectedness, even if it's not like we are maybe not aware directly who is doing what and so on. So yeah, I feel positive about that. Yeah.
What do you think about the pollution in India itself?
Oh my God. Yeah, it's scary, but I know it has to come from somewhere. It's like not anymore India and it's not anymore Europe. That's why I believe that these meetings, what is happening, has to happen in a way, because it has to go from the so-called development countries or more wealthy countries. They need to contribute in some way that India and China, the two major upcoming issues in pollution and so, that they can somehow back up and cut down to their CO2 emission and so, because they are like, okay, but we need to build our houses and our people need this. Yes, it's true. That's why the separation between this, you know, the wealthy or the rich and the poor, that has somehow to, it's one world. It's not anymore third world and that world. It's one world. So we have to look at it in this way. This is my belief. And only like this, the countries like India or China can be helped, and something can change from above down.
Looking from the economical aspect, that actually the people or the companies who are polluting the most, you think they would step down?
That's why I believe that if it comes from the governmental level, like now this G20 meeting and UN meeting, if it comes from there, and if that's what it has to be implied from above to those big polluting, that this is the only way that it can happen. Yes, that's why that's why it has to go through Copenhagen and then down to the big polluters.
But if you look in our neighborhood of Oroville, do you think that, for example, Tamil people are aware of pollution?
I must say I have doubts that there is awareness that there can be awareness also where there is survival issue or kind of a sense of we can progress a little bit on material level. So it has to come from somewhere else, yeah. Or maybe through village action in these ways it can be a little bit implemented, you know, or just showing in our homes how do you separate plastic and paper, just in very small steps. But yeah, it has to come more through the people who are not struggling on their survival level. I'm probably quite ignorant about this, the facts or the numbers, but to my knowing, a lot has to do with, of course, with oil pumping and all the derivatives of that. And another thing, it's the growing of monoculture crops and all the industry connected to that, like corn industry and all that, and the pesticides and all the chemicals that are put there, and that goes to the meat production. And just we were discussing today how much could be maybe done in one day if people would stop eating meat for a day or two. What in terms of energy? So I, in my understanding, that's a lot. Samba sada shiva, samba shiva. 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 Mata, Om Mata, Om Shri Mata, Jagadamba. Om Mata, Om Mata, Om Shri Mata, Jagadamba.
I feel very inspired just seeing how many actions around the world there are and how many people are joining together. And I have this really strong trust that that much positive energy in a certain direction, it must have ripples going out. I mean, I'm sure of this. All over, yes.
So last decade, we are more aware of that. Did you see some positive actions already in Orville, in India, back in States?
Yes, I'd say definitely in the last decade. I mean, you know, 10, maybe 20 years ago, for sure, people not... The idea of recycling, nobody even knew what that was. Now, I think pretty much everybody knows what it is, at least. And I know in the States, definitely, I've seen... Because that's... I've only been in India 2 years, and the 10 years before that, I was in the United States. And if I just think of, like... regular supermarkets, everyone now has big sections of organic food. It just, that kind of thing keeps growing and growing. So I'm definitely seeing this wave of consciousness and awareness and action happening. Of course, we need more. We're still consumers, you know, and this new, all this digital technology that we keep updating is causing, that's just one example where a lot of waste ends up in landfills, toxic waste. So that's one of the areas, no. But the consciousness and what the kids are learning in schools. And then recently I watched with my daughter a movie from Hollywood, a sweet little movie. And even in there, there was a reference to a child coming home from school and starting to tell the parents all excitedly about global warming and about the need to reduce, reuse, recycle. And the parents like, okay, we've heard so much of this already. So even in the mainstream movie industry, you know, it's being addressed. Yeah.
I think also it's used also for some commercials, actually, not the right way, yeah, correct?
Yeah, this greenwashing that's happening. Yeah, because it's becoming, you know, everybody, let's jump on this wagon because it's also where the economy is actually growing. I know that in the food sector, the organic food is the only sector of the food industry that's economically growing. So, of course, that, yes, it's not always used in the right way in the sense that people jump on the bandwagon for the wrong reasons and then they're not always in their integrity actually producing the real thing. And I don't want that to stop people from buying organic, for example. I still think it's better because the more we go for that, the more the consumer pressure will increase eventually. There will become more and more watchdog consumer groups and agencies and... So we can't let that stop us from making those choices.
Here you live basically from on organic food and you live like in, let's say, healthy environment. How your body feel?
Oh, I feel good. Of course, here we have the heat. I think that's the only thing that sometimes is hard for me. But aside from that, the healthy environment and my food choices and my lifestyle now, I cycle everywhere too. Feels really good. I'm feeling really fit and strong. And the heat factor, though, I'm noticing it makes it harder to keep your energy up all through the day. And again, of course, it's the global warming. It must be in September to have these temperatures here. I've been told by everybody that I know that's lived here a long time, it's so, so unheard of. So, yeah.
No, I mean, before you came here, you were also eating organic food?
Yeah. No, I made that choice when I was pregnant with my son, who's now 14. And actually, that's a point I might like to say a word about, because I remember I was pregnant and we were living with friends for a few months and my friend had a little child, and me and my husband, we were not buying organic at the time. We were quite conscious and aware about many things. We were doing yoga and so on, but we didn't think we could afford organic food. So we were still buying healthy food, but regular. And my friend said, "Why aren't you eating organic?" And I said, "Because we can't afford it." And she just looked at me and she said, "What do you mean you can't afford it? You are growing a baby. You know, this is not a question." And I thought about that. And we decided, it made sense. Like a light went off. And we just decided to switch. And ever since then, for 14 years, we've eaten, you know, 80 to 100% organic. And we've managed, and there have been times where we've really lived paycheck to paycheck when we were in America on that. But we always just bought the organic. If we needed to eat more grains and beans for a while, because that was the cheaper organic food, we did. But we just kept that commitment, and it was easy once we made that switch. I've become much more balanced in my whole connection to food. And I just have noticed my health. I mean, when I was a teenager in my early 20s, before I went organic, and also not only organic, but also left fried foods, white flours, white sugars, and that kind of processed foods, I used to get really a lot of tonsillitis, a lot of sore throats, a lot of flus. And, you know, growing up, it was all antibiotics all the way, and which I think just made me sicker. And it's phenomenal now how little I get sick. And the other difference is now, if I do let my immune system go down with not enough sleep or something, if I'm too inspired by a project and stay up too late, too many nights in a row, I still get through the sickness very quickly, like 24 hours. My body just reminds me, get balanced, and I do, and then it's over. And I think that's all due to really cleaning out a lot of the junk that was there before.
You also mentioned that you couldn't afford it, and that's, it's connected with the social status or with the socioeconomical status of people, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So how we could change that?
Oh, it's I've thought about it, and I have not a solution. I wish I did have a simple solution. I do think probably education is the first thing, though, because... yeah, I mean, I'm not talking... The when we're talking about a kilo of rice for 3 rupees, like that, I don't know what how you would do it. But somehow, it needs to start, I think, with the governments realizing the importance of stopping contaminating our groundwater with pesticides and fertilizers. And then the banks and the governments working together. Because what I've heard a lot, for example, here in Oroville and in the surrounds, is that the cashew farmers, they want to try neem oil. They've learned about it from Oroville, but they're afraid because then they will not get their subsidies from and their loans from the bank. So it seems to me that the banks are really tied in with the chemical companies, and this is just what I've heard. So I, and that's a really big problem because then they're afraid to make that switch. And so it sort of seems like it needs to start on a higher level before it can become something that filters down.
So you think these actions today will do that?
I hope that they will lead in that direction. I used to be more of an idealist than I am now. I still maintain my optimism, but I also know that things just take the time they take. And at the same time, I have a, like I said before, a trust and a hope together that these actions, as they keep growing, more and more people, there'll be a certain point at which there will be some shift.
And so what do you think is the biggest polluter right now?
To my understanding, there's two, and it's the transport industry, and then there's also some evidence that suggests that even more than that, it's actually the meat industry. Because the amount of deforestation that happens in the service of grazing land for cows. And then, I mean, I just read it the other day, one hamburger uses 2,400 liters of water.
2 years supply for a man, for one hamburger.
Yeah. And to me, that is so horrifying. So I think, and what I've read, and I've this week in preparation for today, been doing a lot of research on the computer to continue learning myself, is that one of the biggest things that we as an individual can do to make a change and to contribute to a healthier and more sustainable planet for all species, including humans, is to actually go vegetarian. And it's just that that act affects so many levels of sustainable reality and reduces pollution so much. And then, of course, the other big one is the transport industry, flying less. And if you're in a city, riding in car sharing, taking public transport, ideally. And here in Oroville, ride your bicycles. Yes, right now there's a movie from UNESCO that Edwin brought when he was in Paris. And as I understand it, this movie will be about how the environmental crisis, we can call it, is really affecting more the poorer people of the world. And this is one of the big, big issues that we need to be willing to look at. Those of us who may have the money or think that we have the choice, that we can do what we want because we have the resources, it's not just a matter of whether there's enough resources on the planet. It's also a matter of our choices are affecting people who don't have the ability to make their own life better. Like, for example, power plants and industrial waste and toxic waste gets dumped or gets built near areas where people on the lower end of the economic strata are living, just for example. So yeah, so the movie's about that, and then there'll be a discussion afterwards where people can just share how it touched their hearts and maybe see what they are inspired to take action after as a result. And then here at Visitor Center, starting at 7, we'll have a vegetarian dinner that will be mostly local and organic ingredients, and it's provided by one of our Oroville farms, Solitude Farm. And then at 7:30 we'll have what we're calling the Climate Concert. So it's a live band of local musicians singing songs that are all uplifting and inspirational for the earth and for growing awareness. And then between each song we have video footage with different kinds of educational and inspirational messages, speakers, cartoons and so on, to really make this event about raising awareness as well as celebrating life. Because as long as we're doing this work that sometimes seems completely overwhelming, we need to also just remember to be grateful for each day and for each connection we have with the rest of our beautiful family.
How about the children?
The children? I guess I wonder in what sense. Just
in how you see them being aware of pollution, of these topics?
Well, I'm seeing quite an increase in the awareness. That in Oroville, at Transition School, their environmental studies teacher Elizabeth has been sharing a lot about this topic with them. And then I know my daughter has grown up with an awareness because I've been involved for a long time. So just for example, the other day when she was pondering going on an outing with friends, she asked me if it would be more sustainable to take 3 motorbikes, you know, or if it would be better to just take 1 car. And she was wondering for the planet, which one would be better. So when I heard that, I was so touched because I realized that she's really pondering this deeply. And I think as a mom and a parent and an adult in the community, one of our challenges is to keep the whole idea as an opportunity to come together and to make a beautiful change rather than put it like a doomsday energy on it, because the children are sensitive, and I think for them it's very difficult to grow up in this time with this uncertainty that we're all facing.
Thank you.
Yes, that is the prayer and the intention. Yes.
Malamaikaya.